So we might as well jump right into it. I think the show is fitting given the fact that we've got free agency and the draft and baseball, spring training, hockey, even though the Blackhawks, I don't even know. We'll get into that
killing
a little
it,
bit.
Man, they're killing it.
They are, but I was at the game the other day, and it's like, how many times are you going to be able to get down 3-4-1 and then make a comeback?
Yeah.
Like they're so good at, like, you never count them out, but at the same time, like, I feel like they put themselves in a hole and are working incredibly hard, you know, for what they need to.
Hockey's a streaky sport, man. You gotta ride your team while they're hot, you know. So it's bound to ease up a little bit heading into the playoffs. But you know, sometimes tasting some of that defeat is good, you know, to have right before you go in. But it's been interesting. It's been a fun ride. So everyone's having a good time.
Well, if anyone is wondering why you sound like you know what you're talking about when it comes to talking about hockey, this is Chris
Burhans,
because I don't know how to read, the founder of Sports Mockery. And we had you on when I had the original show, Tomorrow's Business Today, and now we're in Technory Live. And I think there's a lot of things I want to talk about. We're probably going to spend most of the show talking about sports. But, you know, you are a very interesting media company. And we were talking offline beforehand about the fact that you are capitalizing on sports as such a hot issue. And what we try to do here at Technory is not the same as Sports Mockery, but it's very similar in that people have a lot of big opinions, and we share a lot of companies that are very early on. And so you can really share your opinion strong if you want to about what you think the right thing to do at this time for this company is. And so, you know, in a lot of ways we're very social media driven in the way that we grow our show, similar to Sports Mockery. So for those who don't know what Sports Mockery is, why don't you give everyone kind of a quick elevator pitch on what exactly Sports Mockery is?
Sure. We specialize in breaking news and rumors in Chicago. We are a website entertainment company that basically is an alternate to the mainstream media that's out there. So we have a lot of people that work very hard to gather and curate all the different Chicago sports news surrounding the internet. We put it in all one place on sportsmockery.com. And really, it's just a place for fans to go there, get their news, and really read sports in more of a relaxed manner. You know, we have journalists that work very hard, but we prepare our product in a certain way to present more of a relaxed feel to the fan. You know, when people read our articles, it's more like you're talking to your buddy sitting on a bar stool or something like that. You know, so for us, it's very beneficial to, you know, continue to work with many people in Chicago. Like you said, you know, our engagement is very important on social media. And, you know, we have a lot of people that download our Sports Mockery app as well. So we like to stay in tune with everything Chicago sports, and we just curate it and provide it back to the fans in a you know, funny way that is more relaxed and an alternate to traditional mainstream media.
And I don't want to like cut down the mainstream media you're talking about, but I feel the same way about what we do, and I feel the same way about what you do. What I like Sports Mockery is I think a lot of the media companies, it's regurgitated numbers. It's stuff that bots are doing. It's stuff like, that's why I think it's fine to have you on this tech show, because the reality is what most of the companies, ESPN, even Tribune and all the other ones who do their sports stuff, it's the bottom line that's streaking across the TV. Here's the score. It's 7-2. Someone went 3-4. There's nothing there. There's no meat there. There's no opinion. There's nothing to really get jazzed about. The score is there, and that's all they leave you with. And the story sometimes, I think, I mean, they could almost be labeled branded content because they are writing something that you want to make sure that we make this person look good because it's in our best interest. And I feel like Sports Mockery is like more about what the people who are reading it or listening like want to know about. Like, I want to know weird little things that these guys do before the game, like rumors. I remember when I had you on the first time, the Cubs had lost in the playoffs, but there was the Pittsburgh had the window, if you don't remember.
Yeah, yeah. Where the
dude had like gone upstairs and flipped the sign upside down.
It said Bucks in the window, B-U-C-S, and then our guy went up there, switched around to say Cubs, and it went viral on social media because it was in Pittsburgh during the game.
And that's the thing that like the new person wants to read about. That's like it's not the fake news. It's just I'm going to get all the regular stuff anyway. Like just by watching and just like my updates on my phone, I'm going to find out all the scores and stuff that I want to know. I want to know like the fun, the sports fan part of this stuff. And that's what you guys do so well.
Yeah. You know, throughout my experience in this business, what I found is that there really is this gray area when it comes to journalism. You know, a lot of professional journalists out there have very high standards, and they uphold those standards on an everyday basis, and they're, you know, joy to read. However, you know, our approach is a little more relaxed. We specialize in more some of that side news, some of the things that people want to know about. You know, some of the, you know, this fan got a really cool Jake Arrieta haircut, you know, check out the picture type thing. You know, there's just a lot more that goes into it than the everyday news, because the news can be boring. And, you know, the traditional news slows down. However, social media is always going. There's always players posting stuff to their Instagram. There's always something to talk about, you know. And really what we like to do is give fans more of a chance to talk. You know, my biggest knock on, you know, traditional media is just the fact that most of them are so big, they don't really have time to reply back to fans, right? So if you have a real big social media personality slash journalist and they make posts every so often, they might have 500 comments under there and they don't really have a chance to talk back to the fans. Whereas with Sports Mockery, we like to give our fans a lot of time to talk, and we take their opinion. We put their opinions in our articles. You know, we retweet their opinions all the time. You know, our goal is to really get the heartbeat of the Chicago fan when we post our news. And, you know, with that comes a lot of information that's in addition to the traditional side. You know, so-and-so got hurt, but maybe, you know, maybe this guy was seen at the club, you know, hanging out, you know, and someone took a picture and sent it to us. Or somebody, you know, met, you know, Ryan Sandberg, and he donated something to their family. You know, we have a lot of good feel-good stories that go into it, too. It's not like trash, but it's just, it's a different kind of news that now exists that people want to hear about, that are more like nuggets and tidbits about things that aren't necessarily a traditional journalism publication.
Well, I think that's actually what people, for the most part, I think it's what people are actually looking for, right? I mean, I think that at this stage, we have changed the way we consume everything. Everything is social media. It's little bites here and there. It's photos. It's gotcha.
Attention spans are shrinking. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. It gets less and less every minute. So when I think about what you guys do, it just makes me think, I don't want to like shit on the other guy, but it makes me feel like they're just out of touch. Like it's almost a lazy approach at this point. Like anyone can stand there and look at the box score and just throw it out there. Like that's,
yeah, and, you know, some of these guys, though, I feel like they do deserve a lot of credit, because, you know, really what happens in the traditional media that a lot of people don't know about is, you know, for instance, like someone that covers, let's say, the Chicago Bears, you know, they have very specific rules they have to follow. You know, they might attend practice and see things they're not allowed to put on social media. You know, the Bears have one of the most strict media policies in the entire NFL, you know, really in the sports landscape altogether. So we're not necessarily attached to that. We have a lot of people that we do business with and affiliate with that are under that umbrella, but we're a little more free with what we can post, and you know, people enjoy that relaxed approach to content more so than, again, kind of that serious, like you said, here's the score, here's the injury, here's what so-and-so said after the game. What we like to do more is try to read into some of that and maybe try to predict what's going to happen. You know, we're not always right, no one is, but it's real fun to talk predictions, talk the draft, guess who the Bears are going to draft. You know, that's really where our sweet spot is. We like to talk and engage with our audience, and we found that a lot of the fans, when they get a chance to talk back, they enjoy it. You know, they like to hear their voice, you know, featured on our 312 podcast, or possibly, you know, retweeted on our Sports Mockery account, you know, because we have a lot of followers and a lot of people, you know, like to see that. So it's real fun.
So what is your background to get into something like this? I feel like you are, every time I talk to you, you know even more about this industry than anyone I talk to at any of these major places. You're so in touch with it. What is your background that decided, other than a sports fan? I mean, I get that side, South side for sure. Like I get that, but what was the impetus for you to be like, oh, you know what? This, I just don't like what I'm reading or seeing, and I'm going to do it on my own, and then here's how I'm going to do it. How did you build this business so quickly?
Well, you know, it's a little bit of an interesting story. My background's in technology. I have a very heavy technology background. I have a master's in data security. So I have a heavy tech background. And, you know, when I first got one of my first jobs out of college, you know, a lot of our buddies were emailing back and forth constantly, talking about the games, talking about the scores, everything else. And I was kind of like, guys, we shouldn't really be doing this in work, number one. And two, we should build a website to track all this. You know, the idea kind of sort of started with a lot of people saying like, oh, I knew that was going to happen, or I called that. I'm like, no, you didn't. You lied. You know, I'm going to write this down somewhere so we know. And it started with like really 50 to, you know, probably 75 Southside friends that all got on and started kind of talking about sports. And the popularity really started to grow. People just wanted to chime in. People just wanted to talk.
It's like a fantasy football league gone rogue.
Yeah, it really was. And after about 10 months, I sat down and I was like, guys, we may have something good here. And I rebranded it, rebuilt the tech. We have some really good tech that comes along with our stuff. You know, a lot of people are very familiar with Bleacher Report and TeamStream. Well, our website functions functions the exact same way. You go to our homepage and it's all the Chicago professional teams in one feed of stuff. You're going to see tweets in there, Instagram, everything, you know. So we do well on the tech side due to my background, and I feel that helps us give a good you know, a good product back to the fans, because we do our best to really, you know, have a clean site with all of our marketing and everything we do. And then when it comes to social media, I have a lot of experience. I've spent a lot of money growing our social media accounts. And, you know, it's a hobby of mine. I really like social media. I like what each different social media platform really brings to the table from a business perspective. And it's something that I study quite often.
Yeah, well, it's pretty evident. And I think it's probably the reason you were, as we mentioned before, that a lot of these different kind of one-off sports, non-traditional platforms have kind of disappeared, because they're not really run like a business. And you were definitely business minded. It's definitely like X's and O's, which is funny because it's sports, but you know, you've got this whole thing down, and ultimately the package is amazing. What are the parts about going against the traditional media company? I'm going to pose this in two formats. The first one is, when you first started, what did you notice, or what were the challenges and things that you learned about going up against the traditional giants? And then we'll step back and look at it now, because they're getting buckled at the knees by people like you. So,
you know, to be honest, when we first started, we noticed that there weren't a lot of people out there willing to help. Yep. You know, when we first got started, you know, I actually have said it a lot in our business meetings with Sports Mocker. You know, there's any person in their basement can start up a site and start writing if they want to. You know, with the capabilities of the internet and technology these days, anybody can really stand up anything. You know, it was important for us to really build a brand. So a lot of the traditional news outlets, they do a lot like building people's names. So like a lot of the beat writers, you know them by name. Well, I took a different approach with Sports Mocker and wanted to build a brand. And we are very focused on our brand and building something. So when we said Sports Mocker, you know what it meant. It wasn't like, you know, Shy City, Windy City. It wasn't anything like related. Yeah. It was something we tried to make that was completely different. And we didn't get a lot of support from anyone. And we got even less support when we would start to post information that we found that they didn't have, right? So you have these big beat writers that get a lot of information, and you know, that's what they're employed to do. But sometimes the little guys like us, we come across stuff too. We have a lot of friends, we have a lot of sources, we have a lot of affiliates. And so when we put out information that they may not know about, you know, sometimes it creates tension, because they have, then their fans are going to them saying, hey, did you see Sports Mocker report about this? And they're like, well, Sports Mocker is nothing. Listen to me. You know, I'm the one that's been doing this forever. So it took a long time to win people over. And truthfully, what we did from a business perspective was, I sat my guys down. I said, listen, you know, we can't go asking for handouts. You know, we're going to meet as many people as we can. We're going to shake as many hands as we can. But what we're going to focus on is growing. Because if we grow our audience to a certain size, if we grow big enough, then they're not going to be able to ignore us anymore. Yeah. They're not going to be able to not answer us anymore. And, you know, the second part of your question, kind of over time, a lot of doors have opened up. You know, I was down, I was fortunate enough to attend Game 7 of the World Series. It was an unforgettable time. Got to meet, like, David Kaplan down there. Yeah. And, you know, we formed a lot of relationships with a lot of people. Nick Friedel was just on our last podcast, you know, the guy who covers the Bulls. So we have, you know, a lot of good relationships with traditional media. So we don't really bash them anyway. We just try to make sure that everyone understands we're an alternate source to them. Yep. And it's hard, because inevitably, people put us together as the same and compare us, which we have no control over. You know, so sometimes it creates tension, because we do have a pretty large audience, and that's because we have a brand. It's not just my name or someone's name. Yeah. Now, most people that like Sports Mocker probably have no idea who I am if they're watching this.
Yeah.
Because I don't really put my face on things. We're a brand, and that's really what we build.
Yeah, so I mean, that's pretty evident. And honestly, to the second point that you made, I think what's really interesting about this is, ultimately, all of the traditional companies, whether, or I guess broadcast media, all the traditional media production companies, when they look at you, when they looked at you before, they had no choice. They have to, you know, this is new. We don't want it. We don't like the style of doing things. You know, it's trash. It's not what we do. And now, regardless of how many people follow you, it's, quite honestly, they have no choice. Like, they just have no choice. And it's funny to me that how quickly, it seemed like for years everyone was saying to them, you've got to really learn, like, that there's new media tools out there, and you've got to use it, and you've got to embrace it and embrace change. And they just, no, we're not doing this. And now finally, it seems to me at least, that people are starting to turn the corner, like, all right, now they're looking to companies like Sports Mocker, like, kind of knocking you off a little bit and like trying to bring you in.
Well, I think what they're starting to realize is that a lot of the things that were forecasted are starting to come true. You know, like, a lot of people, I felt about 4 years ago, you know, I gave a speech at this business dinner I was speaking at, explaining how I thought the landscape of news was changing, that it wasn't only going to be like the Chicago Tribune and WGN anymore, that there were going to be other people that can contribute now. With social media being so big, everybody has a chance to be on the 9 o'clock news, depending on what you catch on your phone, walking down the street, and where you are. So I felt that there was really a chance for some of these smaller media companies, if branded properly and represented the right way, that we could create our own niche in the city. And that was really always our goal from the beginning. We were never trying to really go against anyone. We were just introducing something new. Inevitably, it wasn't accepted. And then now 4 years later, the rise of social media, now a lot of the business tools, a lot of the really pertinent assets of growing your company and making money rely on your knowledge of the social media. So the traditional journalists are forced to come back, you know, because honestly, if you're a traditional journalist these days and you don't have your name connected to a Tribune or a WGN or a bigger brand, it's pretty hard to make it on your own. So, you know, we represent a place for some of those guys. Like, we have some very, very talented people on our staff that they don't have jobs for the Tribune. You know, some of them have jobs elsewhere and they do it on the side, but they do a darn good job and they work real hard. So for us, you know, we think that there's talent there, and we think that there's a lot of information that people are going to want to read about. That's, again, an alternate to the guy, you know, standing up at the bonfire talking to everybody who's sitting down. We're more the party you show up to. Everyone talks to each other. You know, you got something good to say, you can get up on stage and say it. We'll put you on our site to say it, you know. And that's really, we're just looking for the best content we can find.
And I also think, like, one of the reasons that your value is going to become incredibly high, if it's not, it's already high, but, like, I think it's going to get even higher, is the fact that you ultimately, your listeners are the real, like, not that they're not real fans, but, like, are the real fan, like, the diehard fans that, like, in the world of advertising targeting, there's people who just happen to be there, enthusiasts, are sort of like, yeah, I'm in the picture. And then there's the people who are like, I'm in the picture, I'm wearing my Bulls shirt, I'm going to the game, I went to 7 games, I eat a hot dog, I have a routine, like, this is what I do. And those people, the more passionate and the more sort of connected they are with your brand, the more valuable they are to all of the people who advertise and sponsor this stuff. And that, I think, is ultimately something that all of the bigger traditional models have gone away from, because they just, there's so much random stuff, so much broad scope stuff, so basic, not grained in, they can't target the way that you do. And so that's one of the things that I think you've built ultimately that makes it so that with such a great brand, you can go into Milwaukee, go into other cities and launch and get all of their real, like, hardcore fans on first. And if you do that, I mean, you're going to win the city, because it's the heart of the city.
Yeah, you know, one of our mantras for the company when we first started was we were just working hard for the fan. You know, when we originally started this, we weren't into it to make money or anything like that. We did it just because we all had a passion. You know, I grew up with 4 or 5 guys that were my best friend, and we were the guys out, you know, playing basketball in front of the house until 11 o'clock at night, you know, until the neighbors telling you to go to sleep. So that's really where it started. And to build a business around it and to keep it constantly changing and adapting is challenging. But we have a good team of people that really do a great job, and I feel that our fans appreciate that. They know how hard we work for them, and that's really where I think some of that loyalty comes in for us, is our fans just kind of understand that we're out there kind of busting our butt to give them the best product we can put together.
Chris, this has been awesome. I hope you can come back again and keep us up to date. What are the things we should be looking out for with regard to the new podcast? It's not new anymore, 50 plus episodes in. 312, where do people go to find out Sports Mockery? Is there an app? Is there, like, what's all the stuff that we can go download and find?
Yeah, you can check us out on sportsmockery.com. We also have an app which makes us, you know, quite different than a lot of the smaller blogs out there. We have an app design that's, again, very similar, like a team stream type app. You can download it to Sports Mockery app. We have our new podcast that's called the 312. It's focused on all Chicago sports. We got Matt Peck, Matt Zawaski, and then Sean Sears is our producer of that. Great content there. And then obviously on all the social medias, you can find us too. If not, you know, if you're a sports fan, chances are you're going to see us somewhere, because your friend probably likes us or your dad probably likes us. So, you know, we're just trying to get the word out there and let people know that we're an alternate choice to the traditional media out there. And it's a lot of fun. So if you come check us out, I think you'll like what you see.
This is awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Awesome. We'll be right back.